is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I and my Savior. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Let's sing that chorus again. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We've got, isn't it beautiful on the stage up here this morning? Amen. I told Brother Chris Pope this morning, I said, Brother Chris, you did a great job. He said, yeah, I worked all by myself doing all this. I said, is there a doghouse built somewhere in the back? I tell you, these ladies, they do it every year. They did a great job this year. I looked at it, and I looked at the bricks on the wall, and I thought, that'd look good on the basement wall, wouldn't it? I said, how'd y'all do that? They said they took a sponge, and they cut it to what they wanted and dipped it in paint, and it looks pretty good. It looks good. I'm excited this morning about Bible school. The kids come in, and they see it. And it excites me every year when we have kids come to Bible school and they say they'd rather come to Bible school than go on vacation. We've actually had some of them say that. And that's good. Looking forward to this week. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. Want to say again, Happy Father's Day. I was talking to some guys at work this week, and it was Friday. They said, Happy Father's Day. Obviously, they're not going to see me today. And I said, you know, Happy Father's Day. Dads are parents, too. And it's important. The Bible says that ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Then there's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says, train a child up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. You know, you take these things and you combine them together, and we realize the responsibility that we have as dads to just show them the direction that they'd want to go, but not the direction that we want them to go, but the direction that God wants them to go. Because honestly, they're ours just for a short period of time, but they're his forever. And the main thing, and I'm excited this morning, Brother Allen's going to be bringing the message here in just a little bit. We got a lot of testimonies this morning from our youth. We had great success. I'm not going to get into that, and I'm going to let them tell you about that. But thank you, parents. Thank you, dads. Thank you, moms, for raising your children to know Jesus and for bringing them to the house of the Lord. Got a card that I want to read here from Miss Darla. It says, thank you so much. I'm so blessed to have a church family as special as all of you, and thank you for allowing me to be part of your sweet children's lives. I love you, Miss Darla. Now, you know, Darla came up this morning. She said, I'm so excited about Bible school. She said, I've got some new object lessons. I just said, well, don't set the church on fire. We saw an object lesson this week at camp where Brother Roger Gladwell had some kids squeeze a banana. It went all over the place. Then they busted a tomato the same way. But he brought out what comes out of a tomato when you squeeze it. Tomato juice. What comes out of a Christian when you squeeze them? Should be Christ. Great object lesson, huh? We're excited this morning. Miss Lou, come on down. Miss Lou wants to sing for us this morning. So We're going to add, we got a song here. We're going to let her sing. But it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. It's raining outside, but it's always warm in here, and I like it. I like it because the Holy Spirit's here. All is vain unless the Spirit comes down, right? We want the Lord to presence to be here. And let's give Miss Lou another hand as she gets ready to sing this morning.
God is good all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thankful to be here this morning. Thank you, Brother Joe, for allowing me to try to sing. I'm not a singer, but I'm the old preacher's daughter, and he was a singing preacher, kind of like the one we got. You know what I'm saying? He might not get to preach, but he's going to sing you a song before he left that church. So, but y'all just pray for me. And I pray that this will touch somebody. I'm trying to travel a path that is straight. Each day brings me closer to that beautiful gate. There I'll lay down my burden and receive a bright crown forever to live in that heavenly home. I've got a longing, I'm homesick to go to a land without heartaches, no sorrow or woe. There is nothing but trouble in this world below. I'm homesick for heaven. I've got a longing to go. I'll see my Savior who saved me from sin. And I'll hear his well done as he welcomes me in. I'll see my father and my mother. They have been gone so long. They said they'd be waiting just to welcome me home. I've got a longing, I'm homesick to go to a land without heartaches, no sorrow or woe. There is nothing but trouble in this world below. I'm homesick for heaven, I've got a longing to go. Yes, I'm homesick for heaven, I've got a longing to go. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Wasn't that good? We've got a very important part of our service this morning that you can't see. Sister Becky, you ready? Hey, I appreciate Sister Becky being here and doing her part. Let's stand again. Turn to page 346. I know my name is there.
Pleasure to be in the house of the Lord today, ain't it? I'd like to say a few things about Global Youth Camp, all of us youth that went to it. I'm so glad that y'all let me go up there and praise the Lord with y'all. I felt so close to God towards the end, but I know the devil was playing on this youth group. But guess what? In the end, we all united together and became one youth group and one for God. Thank y'all so much for letting me go. It was very much of a pleasure. I feel closer to God than I ever have in my entire life. All right. I'm going to pray over this offering, and then we're going to keep praising the Lord. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you another wonderful time we get to gather in this house of the Lord. Lord, I'd like to ask to bless this offering in your name. Bless this offering for the church to strive for greatness for you, Lord. Lord, we know your hand is on this church, and we know that this church is not the church. We are the church, Lord. Thank you so much for letting us gather here. And Lord, I'd like to ask for all these fathers in this room to have an amazing Father's Day, Lord. But most importantly, you are the Father of all, Lord, and we hope you have a fantastic Father's Day. Lord, thank you so much for this offering that we are about to receive, and bless us to the church. Lord, we love and we thank you. Amen.
Good morning this morning. Happy Father's Day to everybody. The reason we're going to get to hear some testimony here in just a minute. Let me tell you the reason we played that video first about modest is hottest. Because when everything's going right in the house, Dad is happy. Yeah. And that is what we want for Father's Day. And we are thankful for our young ladies who understand that. We come back from a camp that Sometimes you see young people beginning to struggle what it is to be modest. But our youth group did a great job, and we're thankful for them. And I know, like I said, as dads, when there's peace in the home, there's peace in the heart. And I'm thankful for those things. But we got some groups of people this morning. I want you to pay close attention to them. Some of them are going to testify about the things that they experienced at Global, and then we're going to have a few perform for us. So if you would, let's keep our attention up here. And we got a special one this morning. He's been going to Global for a long time, and he's turning red right now. His name's Preston Moore. I want him to come on up. He's got a few things he's going to say this morning.
Morning, everybody. So I think you can ask anybody about Global this year. You know, it was a little bit different, but nonetheless, it was still a great year. And I think God really touched everybody here and really spoke to the leaders, I feel like. The leaders of our youth group really got touched this week. And especially me, like, I know he just pointed out to me my flaws and the things I need to work on and be better for this youth group. And I think everyone would tell you that it was the same thing. But I'm just so thankful for our leaders that were able to keep us on track and keep us focused this week and just for letting us have a great time. We love you.
We're going to hear a few more things. We're going to go through a few things. But before we go any farther, there's a group of people that go with us every year, and I'm not going to ask them to stand up because they'll turn red and they don't want to be recognized like that, but I have no choice. Brother Thomas Carson, yep. Angela Graham, Mr. Cole Bookout, and this year, Brother Seth Klein. He's from a church down in Florida. Or actually, it is in Florida, right? Yeah, and he comes and spends some time with us often as we do youth events, and he's really learning what it is to be in youth ministry, and we're thankful for him. And then there's my wife, Tracy. And they work very, very hard. They pray very hard, and they help a lot of people, even students that aren't ours there. So I want to give them a special round of applause this week. All right, and there's a few other things. Now, I got some leaders here, and I don't think they're going to stand up and say anything, but I want to point out that our youth leaders, like Preston was saying, really stepped up and kind of got out of their comfort zone this week. But one of those is Bella Evans. Now, she's nervous, so I want you to come on up, Bella. She competed in the talent show this year, and it's called, she did this thing called Spoken Word. It's a kind of a form of poetry, and it's really, really good, and you could hear a pin drop when she was finished because everybody was paying attention. So let's listen to Bella this morning.
Flesh versus spirit, right versus wrong. He gave me a breath of life with fresh air, yet I live every day so worried to make an error. But in truth, he doesn't care. To be truthful, I care about the size of my waist, and yet I know it's such a waste of time. 365 days in a year, trying to pray every day, 7 days a week, rest. On the seventh day, God said rest, yet I don't. Day by day, week by week, Lord, without you, I feel weak. But at least Instagram allows for boys to look strong and for girls to look skinny. With the Photoshop and the filters and the good angles, God, please send me angels because I prioritize myself and you prioritize me. Guilt. Guilt floods over me like the flood you sent down to earth. Help me build myself an ark, Lord, like that of Noah's, to rise above the hate, to rise above the despair, to rise above the negativity, the comments, the likes. Jesus, what are your comments? Jesus, do you like me? I'm internally fighting yet again. Flesh versus spirit, right versus wrong. Who am I? I am free-spirited, yet one with the Holy Spirit. I am careless, yet the Lord cares most about me. I'm spontaneous and God is miraculous. Yet you think of Christians, and what do you think of? Uptight, judgmental, reserved? And I classify as none of those things? Told I'm a fake Christian if I use Instagram with 200 megabytes, so I bite my tongue because I know it's not worth the argument, while my self-worth depreciates because I post a bikini picture for 3.5K viewers. And sadly, my persecutors will point towards a door and tell me to walk out because I don't know the meaning of life. But I do know that Jesus is the point of life, and without him, this is all meaningless. Meanwhile, my inner being is tugging at my outer self, and I'm broken. Broken like the glass on my shattered phone. And through that screen, I clean and I clean and I clean. My white teeth made whiter, my soft skin made softer, my bright eyes made brighter, striving for the standard of perfection that only Jesus reached. And desiring compliments on what I look like, but needing God to be the only thing that is a compliment for who I truly am. God, I need you with me like A needs B or C needs D, and the city of life just spins and spins. And Lord, without you, I fall off track. As I drag my heels upon the rigid ground, looking for your cure that will heal me. Rid me of my problems, rid me of my discontentment, rid me of my sadness, anger, and pain, thinking I'm doing the right thing and looking for love in the right places online and running from the accountability of my actions and my wrongdoings. But the best part of it is, once I stumble and trip after taking a far trip, I can turn my eye gaze to my right and see. Like the sea that Moses parted, I can see that through all my mistakes and longing for unnecessary validations, Jesus is still right there. All of this battling just for the hopes to win the war, finding a sense of purpose.
We were very impressed. You remembered every single word, and she delivered them perfectly, and it blessed a lot of people. Bella, we're thankful. You did a good job. You did a good job. I think there's a couple more that want to say a few words. Mary, do you want to speak this morning? Okay, come on up, Mary. Mary is one of our up-and-coming leaders. She's doing a great job with our young ladies.
This week, at the beginning of the week, you could see the devil was in our youth group. We were kind of falling apart at the seams. There was a lot of animosity between people, a lot of clashing personalities. But as the week grew, we grew together, and we realized some things about ourselves. And like Preston said, this year felt different a little bit. But I think it's because we didn't necessarily grow in God in ourselves, but we grew as a youth group. And I think that's really all that mattered this year. Not all that mattered, but that was my biggest takeaway of this week is we grew as a youth group, and yeah, thank you.
And that is what it looks like at Global Youth Camp. Now Alana's gonna come up here and say a few words, and I think you're gonna sing after this, right? All right, so let's give me just a moment to get everything in order.
Our other leaders have said, we got there at the beginning of last week, and there were some struggles, there were some trials that we were going through as a group and individually, but we sat down as a group and talked about them and realized our purpose for being at camp, and we worked through those, and we really came together. The last couple days, I shared a phrase with the group that had been on my mind, that God was just giving me, wouldn't let go away. And it was closer together and closer to God. And that is something that I think every single one of our youth have thought about since it's come up. And it was truly a great week of growth. And I would also like to say that you recognize the other leaders, but it's Father's Day, and we have such an amazing Father in the Lord, but he's my dad. I know he's not y'all's dad, but I see all the things he sacrifices for y'all, and he truly loves every single one of you. So he is like a father to every single one of us, so thank you.
It's not fair to say those things and expect me not to tear up and cry. She's going to sing for us this morning, and this is one of the songs like Bella performed in the talent show and Alana performed in the talent show. And I'm a little bit jaded, okay? I have to say that. I'm jealous. I think our kids are the best kids. Yeah. And yes, I'm not their dad, but I'm their dad while we're there. And so when the talent show got up there, there was about 15 people or so that competed, but they weren't even close to as good as ours. And the judges didn't get it right. And they put some people in first, second, third that had no business there. Our kids were the best. And I still feel that way. So let's look at what should have been first and second place.
Just the sum of every high and low.
I think the truth is we want to go see those object lessons too.
Yeah.
Usually I do, Brother Joe asked me, but usually I do preach the Sunday following Global. Brother Joe asked me this year, and I began to pray and think about what God would want me to speak on, and he would give me nothing. That was just an abundant amount of scripture and information that run through my head, and I was looking, Lord, what is it that you want me to speak on? And I think it became very clear over time that God was going to give me the message on the top of the mountain. Now, let me tell you what the top of the mountain is, and we'll go from there. The top of the mountain is this. It's a place on Fort Mountain just outside of LJ, Georgia. The address is actually Chatsworth. Chatsworth. And if you stand on top of this thing, you can see at least 40 miles in one direction, probably 20 or 30 miles in two more directions. You're at the top. And what Global Youth Camp is, because we talk about it a lot, but I never describe it to you, it's a place that used to be, I think it's the Cahutta Lodge is what they used to call it. It's a big old log cabin in the middle. It's got a big dining area, and there's rooms all over the place. And then as you go down the mountain, there's a hotel, all right? And it's dated, and it's aged. And you can imagine, you're filling it up with teenagers, right? Consistently. They break stuff. Some of you have teenagers. Some of you have had teenagers. And those of you with little kids, let me fill you in. Careful with your good stuff. They're going to break it. And that's part of it. And when you go all the way down to the bottom of the camp, there's some cabins. And they're dated, and they're old. And they have some broken parts in them. Now, every year they make us take a survey at the end, and they want to know what could we recommend that they fix. And I'm always the guy in the pastor's meeting that says something weird. I think it's built in me. But they'll say, well, we could have better facilities. Oh, we could have better food. All these things. But if you'll listen closely to the kids, they never tell you that. And this is why. Roger Gladwell understands it. The focus should not be the cabins. It should not be the hotel. It should not be the food. It should be the Lord. And if you don't overdo it, the kids are going to focus on the Lord. So it brought to me this thought before we get into this today. Wouldn't it be great if we had an adult camp every year where we load up in a van and go all the way up there and you hear all the people complaining about their back hurting and my stuff won't fit in here. You know, all those things. Would you scoot over? You're too close to me. My phone's going dead. Who has a phone charger? All those things, right? Where's my makeup bag? You know, how did this get in my bag? This isn't mine. You see where I've been this week? You know, we would do that too. We think we wouldn't. We'd get on the top of that mountain and we would complain and we would gripe a little bit. There's not enough food here. I don't like this. Where's the pepper? All those things. And we would get up there and we may have something to complain about. But this is the honest truth. The reason that these kids continually go back, whether they realize it or not, is that the Spirit of God helps them up there. They get up there and they find something that they can't find out there. It's not there. They can find it in here, and they can find it there. And it's so influential on them that they are willing to go endure average circumstances just so they can be around God's Spirit. Now, and I'm thankful for that because they're saved and now God's Spirit lives with them and we know that, but they realize so much more when they're around those kind of people. So this year the theme was really over the story of Joseph and his brothers. And as Brother Roger Gladwell was speaking to the adult leaders one morning, he touched on a subject that I think I'm going to share with you this morning. So if you'd open up your Bible and you turn to Genesis chapter 28. We're going to look at a lesson today. We're going to look at a message. And it's really named, Where is Your Bethel? And there's some moments in the life of Jacob that we can dig into and we can begin to understand why we do the things that we do and why we should. So if you look in Genesis chapter 28 in the 10th verse, reads like this. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of the reach of the heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord of God. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed all thy families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. There is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took up the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. Now, when you see that, what you find is that Jacob is really on about a 500-mile travel, and this is day one. You ever been on vacation and day one go wrong? Let me tell you about Global Youth Camp this year. We went on a 100-mile journey, I think 70, 80-mile journey, and day one was kind of just like it. We got to the top. It was not going well. Our children, there were groups over here and groups over here, and they were against each other, and they were picking at each other and making fun of each other. And listen, they're teenagers. We understand that. But as the time progressed, it got better. But day one was tough. This is day one to Jacob. He gets somewhere. He goes to sleep, and God visits him in a dream. And it was undoubtedly from God. Now, we also see that God made a promise to Jacob. He said, I'll go with you wherever you go. And Jacob intentionally prepared a place after that dream for the Lord. He set out to do so, and he did it, and he was fearful that he hadn't recognized it earlier. Jacob committed to God, and he made a decision to go with God instead of traveling without it. Now, Jacob, at some point, has this change of heart. Why? Because God changes hearts. That's what he does. And then Jacob made a decision to follow the Lord. Now, Jacob made this change, and he called it My Bethel. And this is where you and I can really dig in to what this means for you and I. Because every person needs to know the moment where they made a decision to listen to the Lord, because his voice is the one that leads you to change. You can go to the top of the mountain. You can have every emotional experience you want. You can come in the doors right here. You can have every emotional experience there's ever been. You can cry, you can weep, you can laugh, and you can shout. But there has to be a moment where you make the decision to follow God. You know, how many times, guys, have we went to the top of the mountain and get on an emotional high? Come back, God is good. But you leave him up there. But this year was different, wasn't it? We went up there, and we found, largely, most of the people. By the way, I want to say we had 3 salvations. Praise the Lord. We had 3 salvations, and here's what's important. They went up there, and they didn't get that same emotional feeling when the Spirit moved. So this is what they did. They began to look inside and say, what's wrong? And I won't go into a lot of detail, but I spoke to a bunch of teenagers this week. There was around 300 teenagers and probably another 70 adult leaders, right? So you can imagine it's tight. And someone to go to an altar, or someone have a question. You may not know them, and they come up to you, and they're beginning to ask you these questions. Why don't I feel God like I used to? And I asked them this question. I said, when is the moment that you committed to him? And they would struggle to answer. They may ask other questions like, am I saved? And then you'd go into that. And it got to the point to where the preacher was saying stuff like this, you cannot rededicate a life that's never been dedicated. That's an interesting point. People say, I rededicated my life. Praise God, I'm thankful for that. But if you've never dedicated it to begin with, you can't rededicate it. And you look and you see the things that we're talking about right now, and I begin to dig into these young people's lives. And the truth is, this applies to everybody. People say, I don't feel God anymore. I'm a Christian, but I don't feel the Lord. That's frightening to me. They'd say, I don't know where I went wrong, so we'd start at the bottom. I'd say, well, how's your prayer life? And they'd say, well, I just don't pray like I used to. You say, well, tell me how often you do pray. And they would have a hard time describing it to you. And I would tell them, you know, if you do not pray and we don't seek God, that we've not committed to Him, you need to look backwards in time and see if there was a spot where you did commit. And then we'd dig into something else. I'd ask them this. Is there something going on in your life that's going to separate you from God? And usually there was. Well, again, I'm not going to go into extreme detail, but I want to give you the magnitude of what we're dealing with teenagers here. I'd say, are you struggling with drinking alcohol? We're talking 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds. And they'd say, yes. And I'd say, well, how many times in the past year have you been intoxicated? Most of them would tell you at least 3 times this year, sometimes 3 times that month. And then I'd ask them another question. I'd say, young man, young woman, are you and your girlfriend acting like you're married? Yes. And then they'd go down that road. And then I would simply tell them, the reason you don't feel close to God right now is because, one, you're not praying to Him, and two, you're doing the very things that God says don't do. And you can't expect God to be close if we won't honor Him with our life. Now, we see Jacob right here on his first day out of the gate, running to the point to where God speaks to him, and he has to make a decision. So he chooses to name this moment in his life Bethel. It's formerly called Luz, right? That's the point that we're trying to instill in these young people. And as adults, we have to have that moment too, right? We have to have the moment where I say, Lord, I commit my life to you and my situations to you, my emotions to you, my desires to you, and yes, my family to you. That's the reality. That's why we go up there and people say, well, this is not a message for young people. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. People say, you can't say those things to young people. They're not ready. Yes, they are. You think that they haven't been exposed to things. I can assure you, they've been exposed to more things than you have. Amen. Amen. We had a moment there, and I'm going to get into the message, and I don't want to linger here too long. But we had a moment where, and Tracy absolutely took over the meeting for just a second, and I had no idea what to say. We were beginning to talk about, what am I willing to put down that's between me and God? And somebody said it. I don't know who it was. They said, well, my cell phone's in the way. And Tracy popped up and she said, well, if you want to hand them over, give them to you. Give them to me. I'll keep them for the week. And I thought, I don't know how this is going to go. And she said, now, I'm not going to force you to give them to me, but if you're serious about it, I'll keep them, and I'll even keep them charged. I thought for sure there's going to be nobody. Room began to pop up. Cell phones, cell phones, cell phones, cell phones. Not everybody give them up, and I didn't expect that. But Tracy had a bag worth about $20,000. $20,000 walking back up to the room. And what the young people were saying was, this is going to be the moment where I'm going to say, this is my Bethel. I'll commit right now, even if it means I don't have my phone. To a young person today, folks, I tell you, it's the most important thing they got. The most tangible thing that they have that they love is that phone, because it's their link to the world. Now, what does that mean when they say, I'm committing to this? Simple. They're willing to say, I'm willing to be led by the Holy Spirit, that I'm listening for Him, that I'm listening for God to speak to me. It's not strange that they went through the troubles on first day one. Satan was in the room. I thought they were going to kill each other. I mean, I had them yelling at each other across the room. And I told them, I said, you need to understand evil. I said, Satan's in the room, and y'all are letting him win. I said, you're going to grow up. It's time, and they begin to listen. So let's dig into that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. We talked about this morning in our youth group out there in Sunday school, and it was it's good because it applied to every point. Simple verse. 1 Corinthians 6, 17, this is what Paul says. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. When we get it into our mind that my life was intended solely to honor God by loving Him unconditionally and helping other people. And I give that to these young people. I said, look here. I said, if you want to be in touch with God and you don't want to lose those things, what you've got to do is commit to God. It's about a commitment. You ever heard somebody say, how many people did you have saved? You've heard that. How about this one? How many people did you have make a decision? You know, it's that, you know, you hear those two words cross over. They're really sometimes asking the same thing. Did you have anybody submit and surrender to the Lord and become saved? I heard that a lot this week. Without the Spirit of God, you are not saved. Without the Spirit of God, you cannot live the moral life you should. Without the Spirit of God, you will continue to almost get it right. That's what we're talking about here. Because Jesus renews them spiritually. Jesus was in the room with these people. Jesus has been in the room with a lot of people in this room. But that's the way that we're supposed to walk with Him. Because He renews us spiritually. I don't. There was a time we had a meeting this week and they all got together and they were fighting and they got quiet. And I simply told them the truth. And they said, what's our problem? I said, one is we're failing. We're failing to recognize the greater purpose. And I said, and number two, I said, because I can't get through to you, I'm failing. I said, I can't. I'm trying. I'm at a spot where I don't know what to do. And it got silent. And then we all began to talk about where we were struggling. Because we weren't really, truly walking with the Lord the way we were supposed to. Because when I walk with Him, the Lord's Spirit and mine are together. We were getting outside of that. Now, what they wanted was change. Don't you want change in your life? If I could change it tomorrow, my salary would double. My hours would get cut in half. My truck would be 2 years newer. My bedroom would get smaller. My closet would get bigger. And retirement would be 10 years closer. That's what it would be. But let's just face it, that's not the way that it happens, right? Where does change come from? Change comes from the Lord. I've just got to be willing to get on board. Look at Jacob. He was on a journey. What changed? God showed up. God showed up and gave him what he needed. Now that is offensive to the flesh. The flesh will argue with the Spirit. How many times have you said, didn't we talk about this? Nobody else knows. It's not hurting a soul. What a lie. What a lie. Things that you think you're hiding from God are not. But it affects the prayer life every time. And here's why. Because we're reluctant to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've messed up again. Nobody wants to go to mom and dad and say, I messed up. We're definitely not in a hurry to go tell God, God, I've messed up. That's what we need to be, though, is because, again, Jesus creates the change. And the flesh wants to hide it. Now, to change, just like Jacob, you cannot be alone. Jesus must go with you. We've tried it before. This is one of the central themes of the message this week. Stop trying to do good. Now that seems kind of odd. Stop trying to do good. Let me tell you what I mean by that. How many of you have made, and you can raise your hand in here, I'm a hand raiser kind of guy in here. How many of you said, I'm going to do better? Oh Lord, that is a lie. I'm going to do better. I'm done messing up. Until the next time you what? Mess up. That's where we're at. That's not the way that we're supposed to do it. You're supposed to say, all right, God, walk with me so that I don't mess up. So that you can help me. Turn over to the book of Romans just briefly to the 6th chapter and the 5th verse. Paul's words, it said, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. When I walk with God, when He touches me, when He makes me new, I'm not what I used to be. Well, Tommy just supported and said, thank God you ain't what you used to be. I agree, Brother Tommy.
I am thankful that God has reached into my life and begin to reveal to me and show me the things that are displeasing to Him. Not only does he do that, He shows me what is pleasing to Him. What we can walk with, what we can do. That's what we want for our young people. Because here's the ugly truth. You and I are closer to death than they are. Who's going to lead the church? Who's going to lead it in the persecution of the modern day liberal world? They're going to have to do it. They're going to have to do it. And if you don't give them the boldness and the strength and the knowledge to know how to walk with God, the church will fail. And we won't do this anymore. We'll meet in homes. We may be there anyway, I don't know. But there has to be people move along and come up behind us. Has to be. So number one, I told you, unite with God. Number two, repent from the things that separate you from God. We talked about it. Go over to the book of Ephesians. We're going to look in that second chapter. And we'll just kind of hold our place there for a second. Repent from the things that separate you from God. Now, we talked about these young people having some things in their life that separate them from God. But don't we struggle with the same thing? Might not be the exact same sin, but I guarantee you, I struggle with anger. I'm not a violent guy. I don't beat on people. I'm not that way. This is the anger. When it don't go my way, I get angry. You know, I am an only child. My mother and father are here. I won't look at them right now. But I want it my way. I'm an only child. It's always been my way. I married a woman that's the oldest child. Can you imagine the household argument? My way's the only way. Her way is the best way. Amen. We've even had arguments over who makes the best ice cream. We have to set those things behind us and get rid of the things that separate us from God. Sometimes it's a job. Sometimes a job separates us from God. I'm not saying quit your job. Put it in its right place. Sometimes it's a person separates us from God. I'm not saying turn your back on anybody. Put it in its right place. Sometimes it's a vehicle. Sometimes it's a bank account. Sometimes it's a phone. Sometimes it's an Instagram account. Sometimes it is a Snapchat account. Sometimes it's other sites that we don't even need to mention. Those things separate you from God. They have to be in their proper place. And until they're placed in their proper place, we will struggle with it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Is special because Paul is talking here. He says, into whom also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the promise of Him who worketh all good things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to praise His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye have believed, you were sealed to that Holy Spirit of promise. Let's go back. You are sealed to the Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of God is going to show you the things that is going to keep you from God. That's truth. I'm sorry, it's Ephesians 1. I am sealed to Him, and His Spirit reveals the things that I know. And if there's something that keeps me from Him, I want Him to tell me. The evidence is overwhelming. The evidence is overwhelming in life. If people think that we're doing it right, look at the consistent state of our nation. You get many naturalists in this world say, if we just keep going, we just keep learning about science, we keep digging in, we'll eventually treat each other well and it'll be a utopia. Yeah. Watch the news if you can. We're not going the right way, we're going the wrong way. Didn't Jesus say it would be this way? But I've got a rescuer. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that comes along and comforts me and gives me peace. And when I get out of line and I begin to act like the world more than I do what God wants me to, He knocks on my heart's door and He says, son, listen to me. You're doing it wrong. You need to move. You need to change. That's what He does. Look for Jesus in your life. It'll help you recognize when He's missing from the scene. Does that make any sense? Think about that. Look for Jesus in your life. How do you recognize the Spirit of God? When you've walked with Him long enough that you recognize He's not there. Because God doesn't lead you to misery. Misery shows you that you're going somewhere without God. That's the reality. And lastly, we're speeding up. Choose Jesus. Unite with God. Remember, unite with Him. Repent from the things that separate you and willingly choose Jesus Christ. There was a young boy, and he was handsome. Reminded me a lot of myself. I'm teasing. That's a joke. He had a bunch of hair. You know, I don't. A bunch of hair, and he was thin, and he had the cheekbones stuck out a little bit, and the girls loved him. And he had four of our girls all gathered up in a circle, and they were praying together, and I thought, how sweet. And I looked, and they were going, it's innocent enough. I said, yeah, but I'm 41, and he's 18. I've been 18. So I waited. They prayed for about 10 minutes. So I just got in the circle. And then they said, well, we're going to sit down and pray. Some of you was in that circle. Then they sat down, and they began to look at each other, and it's four pretty girls and one pretty boy. The ratio ain't good. So we sat there, and I got right in the middle, and people are looking at me like, what's this guy doing? Keep in mind, this is after church time. We're supposed to be going to our individual church times. All right, and I sat down, and they're looking at me like, you're making it awkward, and I'm like, I'm trying. I'm trying. And they said, what are we supposed to do? I said, well, I'll tell you what, young man, why don't you come to our church group? Well, I can't leave my church there at their church time. And I just looked, waiting on that to sink into him. And I said, let's just go to your church time. He said, well, and it's a broken record. And I said, I'll tell you what, let's just change it up. You go to our church time. Well, I can't leave. My church time's over here. I said, but you're not in your church time right now. And I said, what you're doing, and you don't even realize it, is you're opening a door for things to go bad. You need to choose Jesus right here. A young man that's 18 don't need to be hanging around four pretty girls with no supervision. No. And he said, well, what do we do? I said, let's pray together. So we stood up, and me and that young man prayed. Great personality. I don't think he had any bad intentions, but I know what Satan will do. So I made our girls leave. And I told them, I said, you've got to choose Christ consistently and recognize when it's going wrong. That young man is supposed to be in his church time. You're supposed to be in your church time. This is not a dating scene. This is the top of the mountain where we can find the Spirit of God. Some of them listened. Some of them went right back to the boy the next day. That's what we're here to do, is help them. A choice for life with Christ is a choice of wisdom. Paul calls it putting on the new man. You know, people never regret being a Christian. I've never heard anybody say, I'm sorry I chose Christ. But I have heard a lot of people say, I wish I'd have chosen him sooner. You need help. Everybody needs help. The truth is where we're going to get it. So let's get to the meat. Stop trying to do better. Don't do that anymore. Well, I'll just do better and it'll be all right. It's a lie. This is from your flesh. It's man's judgment. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 8 says this. Wherewith he hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Yes, all wisdom. He give it to you and I. We've got what we need, and it's not trying to do better. It's trying to be Christ's child. He'll control the better. He'll touch. He'll do. He'll reveal. We can do those things. Doing better is a temporary truth covering up a permanent lie. Anybody got a speeding ticket in your life? Speeding ticket? Anybody got two? You didn't do better. You did worse. I got a speeding ticket when I was 16, and then one at 17. Mom and Dad's insurance didn't go so well after that. So I said I won't get another speeding ticket, but I did. Guess what? I've even had another one since then. My record isn't good. Why do we continually just try to do better and try to surrender to Christ? I'll tell you why. Because we're scared. We're afraid of what Jesus will ask us to do. Let me show you what fear will do to a man. Fear uses an acronym. Donald Trump would love this. Fake events appearing real. That's what fear is. Why do we fear surrendering to God? Because we're scared to death we're going to lose control. Fake events appearing real. We always try to do better. We always try to do better thinking that we've got enough control to maintain it. And we fail consistently like that. You know, the phone, when you turned them over, some of you were afraid. But what did you say the next day? Every one of them. I didn't even miss it. I had a great time. Look at the positive influence. Once they got over it, it was good. How many times do you have to get lost in life's journey before you simply ask for directions? How many times do we have to be afraid of the area that God's going to lead us until we finally surrender to Him and He fixes it? So stop trying to do better. Number two, start acknowledging that Jesus as your source of renewal. Matthew 6:22. Recognize Christ as your source of renewal. Matthew 6:22 has these words. The light of the body is the eye. If more than eye be a single, the whole body shall be full of light. The life of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Take your eyes and focus on Jesus Christ and acknowledge Him as your source of renewal and not you. And He'll do so. There was a man stood up. He was probably in his 60s. He had spent 30 years, I think 40 years of his life in prison and was about to get sentenced to 40 more. What a great thing. He stood up there and he said, I made 30 pounds of methamphetamines a week. And he said, I was a killer. Me and him got to know each other a little bit over the week. He said, but I surrendered to Jesus Christ. He rescued me from my next 40 years in jail. And I'm going to live for Him and lean on Him for the rest of my life. Praise God, right? Isn't that what we're there for? He stopped trying to do better. He just started being Jesus' child. He had made his point. He said, this is my Bethel. This is the point where I'll surrender to Him and I'll never go back. He began to see things differently. Let me ask you today, where did you begin to see things differently? Has there been a moment in your life that said, I don't want to be who I used to be? I want to be Christ's. Where did you begin your life with Jesus? And when did you stop simply trying to do better? You got to get with God first, and Jesus will work out the problems. And lastly, we got to learn to live in the shadow of Christ. See, that's the problem with that flesh again. Sometimes we don't like living in the shadow. Turn over the book of Mark for me. Look at that 9th chapter. Mark chapter 9, verse 38. Says this. It says, and John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him because he followed not us. Focus on that us. But Jesus said, forbade him not, for there is no man which can do a miracle in my name. That can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. That's one of those things. Learning to live in the shadow of Christ. The things that we do that are good, the things that honor God, when we do the things in life that we know are pleasing to Christ, give him the credit. It's not about you. It's not about these young people being saved alone. It's about their being saved for the honor and glory of God. We walk for the honor and glory of God. We travel for the honor and glory of God. And if you think it's strange and wonder why the world hates you, it's because you're doing it for the honor and glory of God. The problem today that we see in our young people is they'll try their best to serve God and they'll get spit on and run out the door. They count it a loss and they quit. What we're supposed to do is grab them by the arm, give them a hug, tell them you love them, and walk them right back in. Start them over and over and over. And then start to tell them the bruises and the knots and the nicks that you get in your shins and your elbows for fighting the battle are signs that you're saved and God will reward every one of them. People say, well, I don't want to be different than anybody else. I'm afraid they think I'm judgmental. You better be. You better be. If you're not a little bit judgmental, that's what I'm saying. Learn to call sin, sin. And learn to love people at the same time. God don't accept everything. And if we teach our children to accept everything, we've made a mistake. That's what I'm teaching them. Now, Jesus Christ is calling people to follow Him every day. But many people can't walk in somebody else's shadow. The Christian walks in the shadow of Christ. The Christian faith is lived out because of Christ, not in spite of Him. Because He is personal and He is gentle. And I think we found that on the top of the mountain this week. Everybody says we struggled. That's because God was dealing with people's heart. I think God today is dealing with people's heart. And as we get ready to close, I want to go over a few things with you. One, you can be overwhelmed by Jesus, or you can be underwhelmed by your attempts to be good enough. That's the cold, hard truth. God can reach in and do things that you could never do in your life before. But you can try it on your own, and you'll never make it. You'll always be left needing more. The biggest difference between people experiencing peace and people having no clear direction is one of them's got Jesus. The biggest difference between people who are good and people who are rescued is Jesus. The biggest difference between people that are struggling to live a moral life and people who simply trust God is Jesus. What I'm trying to tell you is we are not good. I am not good. But He is wonderful. And because I am His, that's the way He sees me. Now let me ask you, have you surrendered your thoughts to the Lord? Have you said, God, I want You to control the way I think. God, the way I talk. Do you need to be able to take a breath where you're not concerned with anything else? What people think about you? The only thing you're thinking about is peace in the arms of God. Let me tell you, that's why we have altars here at Iron First Baptist. Where you can come down and you can say, Lord, I need to get away from it all, Lord, and just simply set it down in Your arms. Now, God has spoke to people this week. Hopefully God's speaking to people here today. I believe they are. What people may be missing is that Bethel moment where they say, Lord, I'll go Your way and not my own. If that's the case, as they get ready to play this song, I think Miss Becky's going to play. You got to ask yourself, have you ever said, God, I'm going to go Your way? I'm just going to stop trying to do better. That, Lord, I need You. God, will You guide my steps? I'll follow. Or are we still stuck in the moment where we say, Lord, just help me be a better person? There is a difference. When you're ready to do it God's way, God will touch you and God will use you. Now today, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, maybe God's drawing, maybe God's pulling, or maybe you're saying, I can't remember the last time I felt God pull. Maybe today's your day. So as they play, if you'd rise to your feet. As God speaks today and He spoke with hearts today, would you please come?
All to Jesus I surrender. Holy thine.
Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Allen, thank you for that message, and thank you for telling the truth. You ever heard the saying, loving somebody to death? Let me tell you how you love somebody to death. You just let them keep living the way they're living, doing the things they're doing, and say, well, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't say anything that's going to upset anybody. And you just love them right into the grave. I'll tell you today what America needs is more preaching of the truth.
Amen.
More from the Word of God and less acceptance of things that the Bible says are wrong. God has not changed. He's not going to change. And I'm glad He doesn't, because it's the only thing that I find in this life that's consistent enough that I can hold on to and know that there's a promise for tomorrow. There's a promise for the future. I love all of y'all people. I love this church, and I love I love my Christian and church family, but without Jesus, you'd be in trouble. I'm looking forward to Bible school. Y'all looking forward to Bible school? Come up here and tell them how good it's going to be.
So it's finally here. I've been up here for like 5 weeks, I feel like, telling you about Bible school. So it does start tonight. We're going to start at 6:30. If you have signed up to work in Bible school, if you'll meet me like maybe like right up here, like seriously, we're going to be super quick. I know it's Father's Day, so I'm not trying to keep anybody super long time. But if you signed up to help, come meet me like right up here right after service. I do still need some help. If anyone's been out there like, man, I really want to work in Bible school, but she's probably full. I'm not. I need someone to do games. So if anybody, feels led to help us out, come find me after service. You can jump in our meeting. But we look forward to seeing you and your kids at 6:30 tonight and then all week. Family night is Friday. So even if you don't have kids at Bible school, if you want to come on Friday at 6:30, you can see what the kids have learned all week. And we're going to have some fun. We're going to eat some pizza. Like, it's going to be a really good time. So feel free to come Friday. If you want to come during the week and hear Miss Darla do her lessons, you're more than welcome to come during the week and hear Miss Darla do her lessons. But we're going to have a ton of fun. We're going to sing some songs, eat some snacks, do some crafts, and learn about Jesus. So, but yeah, if you have any questions, I'm going to be here right away. If you have kids you want to sign up for Bible school, there are papers right outside. You can fill them out here if you want and leave them on the table for me till I can get back there. If you want to buy a t-shirt, if you'll just wait for me to finish my meeting, I can sell t-shirts after church today, and also you can come tonight and buy them too. So, or if you have kids that you want to bring tonight and sign them up, I will take your kids any day of the week this week. So thank y'all so much.
Amen. You know, the greatest thing about camp was we had 3 salvations this week. Amen? That's great. You say, well, what about Bible school? You say, well, those are just going to be little bitty kids. I mean, let me tell you when people can get saved. When the Holy Spirit speaks to them. I'm not the one to decide how old that is. People, I heard one time a pastor said, you know, don't come telling me about being saved if you're younger than 12 years old. I don't get that. When the Holy Spirit of God speaks to them, that's when they can be saved. At the Bible schools at this church, we've had kids get saved at just young age, you know, 5, 6 years old. You say, well, how do you know they got it? How do I know you got it? You know, the time to get them saved is as young as you possibly can to keep them away from the things in this world that hurt them. So bring your kids to Bible school this week, and you come to Bible school. You know what we're going to do? We're going to eat cookies, and we're going to drink coffee. We're going to solve the world's problems. And the fish are going to get bigger, and the deer racks are going to get wider. And we're going to fellowship. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. Brother, would you come dismiss us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you, Brother Tom.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another wonderful service we got to be a part of. Lord, I'd like to ask to thank you for all these wonderful teenagers and that wonderful youth group that got to go up to Global with us and some of them that got saved, Lord. Thank you for touching their hearts and blessing them and letting them walk with you for the rest of their lives, Lord. Lord, I'd like to ask to bless everybody in this room, Lord. Lord, I'd like to ask to bless this next coming up week for Vacation Bible School. Thank you for all the blessings you give many of us, Lord, and hope everyone in here got to have an amazing Father's Day. But, Lord, you are the greatest Father of all, and you deserve the best Father's Day of all, Lord. Lord, we love and we praise you. Amen.